me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And today we are going to look at the last of the Nativity songs in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Specifically, we will look at verses 21 through 39 of Luke, chapter 2. Before we hear God's word, let's join our hearts together again in prayer. Holy Father, through the Scriptures, we pray that you would give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and guide our feet into the way of peace by the knowledge of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen. Luke chapter 2, and beginning in verse 21. But at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. This is the word of God. Now the Song of Simeon here is the last of the 4 nativity hymns in the Gospel according to St. Luke. Of all the nativity songs, Simeon's is the most forward-looking because it expressly mentions the salvation of the Gentiles. Simeon sings about the light of the gospel being a revelation to the Gentiles. The gospel reveals the salvation that God has prepared for all peoples, for Jews and Gentiles. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. In the gospel, God shows no partiality. He makes no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Christ is the Savior of the world, and Simeon highlights the universality of his redemptive work. Simeon prophesies about the gospel going to the ends of the earth, and that prophecy was partly fulfilled in the book of Acts, but it's still being fulfilled today because the gospel is still giving light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. And people from every nation are seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. Now that's what Simeon sang about when he held the child Jesus in his arms. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon waited for his coming. He longed for his appearing. And Luke tells us that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, verse 25. The consolation of Israel is the comforting news of salvation in Christ for the people of Israel. Isaiah prophesied about Israel's consolation when he said in Isaiah chapter 40, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." As a righteous and devout Jew, the elderly Simeon was waiting for that day. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, for the salvation of God's people by the Lord's anointed. And the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, Simeon waited for many years for God's promise to be fulfilled, and in Luke chapter 1, that day finally came. When Jesus was only 40 days old, Mary and Joseph brought him to the temple of God in Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of God required that every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, verse 23. Jesus, the firstborn son of Mary, had to be consecrated to the service of God. So Mary and Joseph brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, verse 22. And Simeon, who had been waiting all these years for the comfort of Israel, was led by the Holy Spirit into the temple. And when he saw Mary and Joseph bringing the child, Jesus, into the courts of the temple, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, verse 29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." At last, the promised Redeemer, for whose advent Israel had waited for so long, had come, and Simeon was holding him in his arms. Simeon, you see, is the embodiment of Israel's hope. He represents the whole nation of Israel, the faithful Israelites who had been waiting for the consolation of Israel through the Messiah. And at last, the Messiah had arrived. Simeon was holding him and blessing God for him. Like the elderly patriarch Jacob, who, having blessed his 12 sons, drew up his feet into his bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people in glory, Simeon was ready to depart this world in peace, having seen the Lord's salvation. Simeon had no fear of death because he had seen the one who came to abolish death and bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Simeon was able to die in peace because he held in his arms the one who said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And we, friends of God, need not fear death if, like Simeon, we fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. What Simeon beheld by sight, we behold by faith. And if we look to Jesus in faith, then at the end of our days, Simeon's song will become our song. And we shall say in the words of Simeon, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon had seen the Lord's salvation because he saw the Savior. He had his eyes on the Savior. and he could depart in peace, knowing that the Messiah had come to bring eternal life for all those who trust in him. For Israel, the coming of the Messiah spells glory, and the Gentiles, too, share in that glory because Christ is the promised seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth shall be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Jesus Christ, through the preaching of his gospel, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. God has prepared his salvation, in Simeon's words, in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Now, after blessing the Lord in this song of praise, Simeon turned and blessed Joseph and Mary with a priestly benediction. And he specifically said to Mary in verse 34, "Behold, this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is to be opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." Jesus is appointed, said Simeon, for the fall and rising of many in Israel. He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense for those who do not believe. And through their unbelief, many in Israel will stumble and fall to their own destruction. But those who believe in Christ will rise to honor and glory in the resurrection and union with the ascended Lord. So Simeon foretold here the death of Jesus on the cross, which will be a sign that is spoken against. For the word of the cross, said Paul, is foolishness to those who are perishing. It is a stumbling block to the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, and it's folly to the Gentiles. And by many in Israel, Jesus would be despised and rejected and delivered up to be crucified. Simeon may himself depart this world in peace, but the child that he held in his arms will be violently murdered by the hands of wicked men. And his crucifixion would cause his mother great sorrow, as if a sword had pierced through her own soul. The consolation of Israel, for which Simeon and the faithful Israelites waited for so long, will come, you see, at a great price. It will only come at the suffering and death of the Messiah. To crush the serpent's head, his heel must be bruised. To bring us into paradise, he must pass under that flaming sword and lay down his life. To redeem us from the curse, he must become a curse for us. It is through his death that he will destroy the one who has the power of death. And the sword that pierces Mary's soul is the anguish that she experiences when her son is crucified. Israel's comfort cannot be had without Mary's grief. The nativity songs in Luke's gospel, recorded in these first two chapters, begin with Mary's joy, but end with Mary's sorrow in view of her son's impending suffering. But that, of course, beloved, is not the end of the story, is it? The gospel does not end with Christ's crucifixion. It ends with his resurrection. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and he was buried. But on the third day, he was raised from the dead, according to the scriptures. And he was raised as the first fruits of the resurrection harvest. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, including Simeon, who died trusting in him as the resurrection and the life. Simeon, in this story, is not only the embodiment of Israel's hope, he is also the embodiment of our hope, which is the hope of the resurrection, the hope of glory at the return of Jesus Christ. And Simeon's certainty in the salvation that he saw in the person of Jesus, which he held in his arms, is a model for us who trust in Christ. We should have that same certainty that Simeon had. But our certainty, beloved, should be even greater than Simeon's, because Christ is risen. He has already been raised from the dead. And so, friends of God, let us have full assurance of faith that our Savior has come and has already abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. To him be all praise and glory now and forevermore. Amen.